In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. 1,686 years ago today, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre was consecrated, and that's the commemoration that we celebrate today, as well as the forefeast of the exaltation of the Holy Cross, which is not unconnected with the fact that today is the anniversary of the consecration of the Holy Sepulchre. The Holy Sepulchre, if you ever get a chance to go, it's one of the most amazing places to be, and I can't think of a time when I've been more moved than I was when I got to venerate the actual place where Christ died on the cross and the place where he rose from the dead. And the Holy Sepulchre became, obviously there were churches that were built prior to this, but the Holy Sepulchre became sort of the prototypical church. And if you're ever able to attend the consecration, or the great consecration of a church, you'll find that much of the hymnody is taken from the service that we celebrated last night. Psalm 26 or 27 in Protestant Bibles is a psalm that talks about the Lord's house and its importance, and so I'm going to talk about the first half of that psalm today. The superscription that you find in the Septuagint says of David before he was anointed. Now, the prophet King David was actually anointed three times. He was anointed first by the prophet Samuel when he was just a shepherd boy, and the only people who were witnesses to that were his family and the prophet Samuel. Then, after Saul was killed in battle, he was anointed by the tribe of Judah to be king over Judah. And then finally, he was later anointed to be king over all of Israel. But what the fathers tell us is that the anointing that's being referred to here is the second anointing, the anointing that he had to be king over the tribe of Judah, because they point out that it was only after his first anointing that he had the grace of the Holy Spirit to prophesy and to be able to write the sacred words that we find in the Psalms. And it begins, "The Lord is my light and my Savior. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defender of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid?" And if you pay attention to the services, you might remember that this is a verse that we use as the precumenon at baptisms. We also hear this at the great blessing of the waters. And so this psalm, on a spiritual level, is talking about baptism and the grace that comes with baptism, although it's certainly talking about the events in the life of King David. But it says, "The Lord is my light and my Savior. Whom shall I fear?" We live in a time where we're being fed fear every day. There's a phrase that I don't recall ever hearing prior to the last year and a half called fear porn, where you have these news media outlets that are just constantly trying to stoke up people's fear to make them as fearful as possible. But it's saying, "The Lord is my light and my Savior. Whom then shall I fear?" Why should we as Christians be afraid? Why should we allow the world to make us fearful? The Lord is the defender of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid? And the point is, the answer to the question is obvious. If God is the defender of your life, you have absolutely nothing to fear. And one thing that we should understand is that when we are baptized, we are entering into a spiritual war as full-fledged warriors for Christ. And that's what our whole life on this earth is characterized by, is constant spiritual warfare. And we need to have the confidence that we're on the winning side, because it's not just us. We're not going to win anything in our own strength, but by the grace of God, no one can beat us. If God is for us, who can be against us? King David, throughout his lifetime, constantly fought battles. Prior to the time that he was anointed as king over Judah, he had fought the Philistines, he had fought Goliath when he was still a young man, almost an adolescent, and killed this giant that everyone else was totally afraid of, but he killed him just with his sling and a stone. And after this, he was many times in peril of his life. So here is a man that knew what it meant to be in peril, but he was a man who knew whom to look for confidence and courage. He looked to God. "When the wicked draw nigh against me to eat my flesh, they that afflict me and are mine enemies, they themselves became weak and they fell." So this is an image of people who are not just seeking to kill him, but they're seeking to eat him alive. They're seeking to absolutely, totally destroy him. But he's saying, as they come and try to do that to him, they themselves become weak and they fell. And mind you, he's saying this very soon after King Saul, who had sought his life and had had a fixation on having him killed and had ran around the countryside seeking to kill him after he had died in battle. And he actually died falling on his own sword. This was the end of the man that was seeking to kill David. His own sword that he would have used against David, he turned against himself and died. Though a host should array itself against me, my heart shall not be afraid. Though war should rise up against me, in this have I hoped. And again, this is somebody who knew what it meant to have a host arrayed against him. There were many times when King David had a very small group of people who were against a very large band of people. And he never feared. He had his confidence in God. One thing have I asked of the Lord, this will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may behold the delight of the Lord, and that I may visit his holy temple. One gospel reading that we hear rather frequently, because it's the usual gospel reading for Feast of the Mother of God, is a story of Martha and Mary. Martha, we're told, was cumbered about much serving. She's trying to be a good hostess. She's trying to take care of all the people, make sure that they're fed, make sure that they've got what they need. But her sister Martha was sitting at Jesus' feet and just listening to his teaching. And finally, Martha gets so flustered, she said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister's left me to serve by myself? Tell her to get off her rear and come and help me in the kitchen. I need some help." And what did the Lord say? The Lord said, "Martha, Martha, you're careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." The one thing that the prophet King David was asking from the Lord was that he would be able to be in the house of the Lord to worship God, to come to know Christ, to seek after him with all your heart. That's the one thing that's needful. There are other things that we have to do in our life, but that's the most important thing. That's the number one priority. "For he hid me in his tabernacle in the day of my troubles. He sheltered me in the secret place of his tabernacle. Upon a rock hath he exalted me, and now behold, he exalted my head above mine enemies." So here we have an image of the security that he felt when he was in the tabernacle and he was worshiping the Lord, because he was in the very presence of God. And what have we been experiencing in the last year and a half? We have been fed all this fear, and we have had people outside of the church and even people inside the church that have tried to convince you that the most dangerous place that you could be is in the house of God, the most dangerous place that you could be. And I've seen people, and I've talked to many other people who've seen the same things. So it's not just in one place, and I don't blame these people. It's because they've been paying too much attention to the media. They've been lied to. But I've seen people come into the church almost with a hazmat suit because they're so afraid of what's going to happen when they're in here, and then they will walk over to where we eat, take their mask off, and act like there was nothing to fear there. Now, obviously, we're not saying that the virus is nothing. That's not the point that I'm making here. But to be afraid to be in the house of God, to be afraid to worship God, this is a lie from the pit of hell. This is deception. This is something that we should never allow ourselves to be talked into, because this is the safest place that you could possibly be, to be in the presence of God, to be able to be in his presence and to worship him. And he talks about how upon a rock he hath exalted me. What is that rock that he's talking about? He's talking about the rock of Christ, the rock of the confession of Christ that we heard about in the gospel reading, where St. Peter confessed him. And Christ said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." We can't get safer than to place our confidence in Christ and to trust him, because we know that he's going to take care of us. And as it says, we will be exalted above our enemies, both visible and invisible. "I went round about and I sacrificed in his tabernacle a sacrifice of praise and jubilation. I will sing and I will chant unto the Lord." When it talks about going round about, the image there is that he's wearing out the doorway into the tabernacle. He is going to the tabernacle all the time because he wants to make a sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice of jubilation. This is what we should constantly seek. There is nothing more important that you could do every day than to take time and to worship God. You can do that at home on some level, of course. And when you're not able to come to church, that's exactly what you should do. But you should desire and seek to be in the house of God, where you can be in God's presence, where you can partake of his body and blood, where you can fellowship with your fellow believers, your brothers and sisters in Christ, and be part of the family of God in the fullest way possible that it is in this life, because we are preparing ourselves for the next life. And that's all we're going to be doing in the next life, is enjoying the fellowship of one another and enjoying being in the presence of God and singing his praises and worshiping him for all eternity. Amen.